Psalms 29. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The glory of God thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth every one speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Heavenly Father, thank you. What a beautiful song. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us, dear God, as we put it somewhat, Lord, for a while under the microscope, dear God, with the help of your Spirit, please speak to our hearts. It would be wonderful while the preacher is speaking on the subject of the voice of the Lord for God's people to hear his voice. And so may we be open for that. May we be hungry to hear your voice in a new and fresh way in all of our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Seven times in this amazing psalm, we find the phrase, the voice of the Lord. Numerology teaches us that seven is the number of God, the number of completeness, the number of perfection. The word voice here means to call aloud. So we're not talking about the Lord whispering here. We're talking about him calling out loud. The Hebrew word for Lord here is Jehovah, or the self-existent ones. So seven times in this psalm, we're reminded that the self-existent one is crying aloud unto men, calling unto men, asking them to hear his voice. Now, I like this, and let's just kind of go down through this psalm and be blessed for a minute here. In verse number 3, we learn that the voice of the Lord encompasses the earth. It's universal. It calls to all men. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The glory of God thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. In verse number 4, we learn that the voice of God, the voice of the Lord, is powerful. Now, there is no earthly equivalent. It was the voice of God that spoke and worlds were created. All that we now see and enjoy is the result of the words of God, the voice of the Lord. And verse number 4 also teaches us that the voice of God is majestic. Was it not John the Revelator who wrote these words? And I love this. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice. And I like what he says next. As of a trumpet, and I turned to see the voice that spake to me. Turned to see the voice. Most of us would say, well, I heard a voice and I turned to see who was speaking. This voice was so unique, so powerful, so personal that he turned to see the voice. We also learn in verse 5 that the voice of God can bring instant judgment. It breaketh the cedars. Now, let's be reminded of that so that we can have reinforced in our life the fear of the Lord. You know, it only takes one word, one sound from the voice of God, and judgment can come. I think America is blessed that God has restrained the voice of judgment upon our nation. Now, we can see that it breaketh the cedars. I mean, all it would take is one word from the lips of God, and this world would cease to exist. Man's soul is called to judgment with one word from the voice of God. In verse number 7, we learn that the voice divides. The words of the self-existent one has always made men have to choose one direction or another. One of the things that you cannot separate from the Bible is the fact that it always divides. It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Guess what a sword does? It cuts, it divides. And you know what? There's going to be people throughout the ages and has been that have heard the voice of God and chose to go towards that voice in obedience, and there's always those that turn away from that voice in disobedience. The word of God divides. It's divided nations. It's divided people. It's divided families. It makes us choose to believe or disbelieve. It makes men choose to obey or disobey. The voice of the Lord divides. In verse number 8, we see the voice of the Lord shaking the wilderness. It sends the tremors of warning to a world gone mad. The earth is being shaken, I believe, as never before. Folks, how do you explain some of the things that we're watching, that we're seeing? The voice of the Lord, I believe, is calling out to men to turn, to repent, warning us of wrath to come. In verse number 9, we see the voice of God still commands his universe. One of the things that I think is so sad to me is that animals will heed the voice of the Lord. And you know what? The birds will hear his voice, and the trees clap their hands at his words, and the flowers bloom at his command, and all creation heeds God. All creation heeds God but one. All hearts hear but the hearts of men. And I want to talk this morning about this idea of hearing the voice of God. I want to start by just asking a question. And by the way, this isn't something you answer out loud. This is something you answer for your benefit in your own heart. But when was the last time that you heard the voice of the Lord? Isn't it an odd thing and an unusual thing for a child of God, a person that professes Jesus Christ as Savior, to go a day without hearing the voice of God, a week without hearing the voice of God, a month, a year without hearing his voice? I want to preach on this subject: hear the voice of the Lord. The Bible teaches us anything, it teaches us this, that since the fall of man, God has been trying to speak to mankind. All the way back in Genesis chapter 3, we see the fall of man. When the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard, notice this, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Isn't that interesting? They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam. Listen to what he says. Where art thou? Where art thou? And Adam says, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. It's always been the tendency of fallen men to hide from the voice of God, to turn from it instead of turning to it, to ignore God instead of letting him speak. I mean, God called in the garden, and you know what man did? He ran and hid. God called and man feared. Guilt turns us from his voice. When the cure for our guilt is found in the words of his voice. Yet, guess what? God continues to call. He continues to call. It was the voice of God that told Cain, who brought to God, to the Lord, an unacceptable sacrifice, that there was still a chance for atonement. In Genesis 4, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. By the way, let me stop a minute. Why didn't God give respect unto the offering of Cain? Because, folks, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Abel took a lamb and shed the blood of that lamb and brought it for a sacrifice, and God accepted that sacrifice. And Cain brought of the labors of his hand, the fruit of the ground, the labor of his work. And folks, listen to me. Ever since then, there's only been two religions. D.L. Moody used to say this: there's do and there's done. And you know what? You either come to God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you try to come to God through the works of your own righteousness. But you know what? God never has respect to our righteousness, because our righteousness is as filthy rags in the eyes of God. And so here we see this attempt to get to God through work salvation, which is no salvation. In Genesis 4:6, the Lord said unto Cain, here's the voice of God. Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? And if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Sin lieth at the door. If you look up that word sin, it's talking about a sin offering. He said, you brought the wrong thing. I'm giving you a second chance. There's a sin offering waiting at the door of your tent. Just go get it. By the way, I often speculate and wonder, what was this argument about later on that led to the murdering, Cain murdering Abel? And I can't help but think that maybe the person that left the lamb, by the way, wasn't Abel a keeper of the sheep? And didn't he see his brother's condition? And didn't he see that his reaction and his anger against God, and he knew God wouldn't accept that sacrifice? And maybe it was Abel that went over and took a lamb without spot, without blemish, and tied it to his tent post in hopes that his brother would repent and take the right offering. You know what? It was God's voice that's calling to Cain. It's God's voice that said, hey, the offering's unacceptable, but I'll give you another chance. It's the voice of God. It was the voice of God also who condemned Cain when he refused the blood sacrifice, but instead turned a murderous hand into his own brother. The Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground, and now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. The voice of the Lord. Why didn't Cain just listen to the voice of God? The voice of the Lord protested the demise of godlessness and the spread of wickedness in Genesis chapter 6. It was God's voice that spoke to Noah because, by the way, he walked with God, because he would listen to God, because he chose to live justly and perfect in a world gone mad in wickedness and evil. And you know what the voice told him to do? It told him to build an ark of gopher wood. What a crazy thing. And yet a man obeyed the voice of God, and because of that, he listened and obeyed the voice of God, and because of that, he survived the flood. Thank God that Noah heard the voice of the Lord. It was the voice of God that spoke to a young man named Abram in Genesis chapter 12. The voice made some amazing promises. It called this young man to leave his country and kindred. It asked him to do this by faith, to begin a journey without even knowing what the destination would be, or what he would be asked to go through along the way. Abram heard the voice of the Lord and obeyed the voice of the Lord, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. Because of that, God counted him as righteous, and now he is known as the faithful Abraham, father of the faithful. But it all was determined by what he did with the voice. Wasn't it the voice of the Lord that called to a young man watching his father-in-law's sheep on the backside of the desert? This young man once lived in Pharaoh's house, the adopted grandson of the most powerful monarch of Egypt. Now a young Moses stands before a burning bush, and the voice of God calls, the voice of the Lord speaks. Shoes off, on his face, he listens and obeys, and his life is never the same. Remember my question, when's the last time that you heard the voice of the Lord? A young general takes a walk into the hills overlooking the mighty city of Jericho. His mission is military. His purposes is to devise a strategy of attack in a city protected by mammoth walls. But in the hills, Joshua hears a voice. And the voice declares the speaker to be the captain of the host of the Lord. And again, a man falls on his knees and listens to the voice of God. And because of that, victory is assured, and soon the walls will come tumbling down. Why, preacher, why? Why these fantastic stories? Why these miracles? Why do these men, why are these men turned into miracles? Because they decided to listen to and hear the voice of the Lord. A young farmer threshes wheat behind the wine press of his family farm. Israel's under bondage. They must pay tribute to a heathen nation. So there he is, back there working, and a voice calls a farm boy. And you know what it says? It calls him a mighty man, a valor. Here's a simple farm boy, and it declares him to be a mighty man of valor and directs him to destroy his father's false idols and directs him to summon an army. And then he directs him to whittle down that army to 300 men. And Gideon, a man named Gideon, hears the voice of the Lord. And every time he hears it, he just obeys the voice of the Lord and becomes one of the greatest generals ever to lead the nation of Israel. And he led them from iron chains of servitude to liberty and godliness. Why? Because he was willing to hear and obey the voice of the Lord. A young boy has been delivered to the temple. He was born to a mother who a few years before prayed on the steps of that temple. Born to a barren woman who could have no children, a woman named Hannah. He now has been given back to God. A vow has been kept, and now he serves Eli, the high priest of Israel. But wait a minute. In the night, a voice calls, Samuel, Samuel. By the way, he doesn't call once, doesn't call twice, doesn't call three times, calls four times. At first, this voice causes confusion, and the young boy's not even sure who it is, but once it has been established that this voice is the voice of God, he finds the right answer, and this is it. Speak, for thy servant heareth. And from that encounter comes the greatest high priest in the history of God's nation. Young men, these aren't stories of people whose lives don't matter. And these are not the stories of the only people that God has ever tried to speak to. I wonder how many volumes the Bible would be if God decided to write a story about every man he ever came to who did not listen to the voice of God. Every woman who he tried to speak to that refused to listen. So from that encounter, Samuel, a prophet rises up. Here, a young man again watches sheep for his father in the hills overlooking Bethlehem. And just typical boy out there with a sling and a harp, and he fights bears and lions and writes songs of praise to God. And often he hears out there in the hills the voice of the Lord. And he listens. He listens. Because of that, he's able to kill a Philistine giant, and he refuses to kill his own king. And because he listens day by day to the voice of God, it eventually leads him to the throne of Israel, where he rules as the greatest king Israel has ever had, outside of the one king that they will have. A young man named David just chose to hear the voice of the Lord. I could go on. Say, did everyone listen? No, Jonah heard the voice of the Lord and fled from it until he was trapped 3 days in the belly of the well, where he finally reluctantly listened. Everything in our life, the conclusion of our life, the accomplishments of our life, are going to be more dictated to this by this one decision than almost any other thing. Will we listen to the voice of God? Will we hear the voice of God in all time? God has saw to it that his voice was heard. Sometimes he's used prophets. Sometimes he spoke from heaven. Sometimes his voice came in the night watches and the dreams of kings and princesses. But finally he sent his son. He called his son his word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. We go on to read this about Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And you know what? When Jesus came, you know what we watch in Matthew and Mark, Luke and John? We watch the word speak forth the words of God, and guess what we see? Most refuse to hear, most refuse to believe, most refuse to obey, but there's always that small group of future miracle makers that hear the voice of God. And listen, I want to get into your hearts this morning. Listen, I don't care if the oldest person in this church or the youngest one, I'm telling you, God wants to speak to you. God wants to talk to you. He's not quiet in this day and age. The Word was none other than Jesus Christ himself, God the Son, Savior of the universe. Some heard the words of the Word and believed, but most did not. Most ignored, even ridiculed the King of Glory. They rejected the voice of God. They did it in mass until they nailed him to a tree. And you know what? 3 days later, he rose again. Amen. And guess what? He's still calling out to men. Preacher, why are we going on this journey this morning? What's this all about? I want to tell you something. There's nothing wrong with this nation that could not be fixed if Christian Americans would just decide to once again listen to the voice of God. Preacher, I'm open to that. And I hope you are. There may be just a handful. I hope not. I hope not in a church like this. But there may be a handful that honestly your heart is completely closed. You don't really want to hear the voice of God. I don't believe that probably exists. And if it does, it's probably a very small minority. Preacher, I'm one of the group. I'd like to hear the voice of God. How do you hear the voice of God in this day and age? Let me help you. Number one, let God speak to you through the pages of his holy word. Say, preacher, I want to hear the words of God. That'd be exciting to hear God's words. Well, right here's a copy. Over the course of the history of this church, we have given away thousands and thousands and thousands of Bibles. I can say that confidently, thousands of Bibles. There's nobody that's ever come to this church without a Bible that's had to leave without one. I mean, at great expense to our church, if somebody wants a copy of the Bible, I want to see to it that it's put in your hand. But I'll do so only after I've secured a promise from you. I'm not interested in giving you a decoration for your coffee table or something to set up on your dresser that'll be ignored and only picked up to be carried back and forth on Sunday. If you will read it, then we will give it, because this book contains the very words, the voice of God, the voice of God. America, though, is in such a hurry. They refuse to pick up the Word of God and read it. I read an amazing statistic, but if you were to read out loud, I'm talking about pulpit reading speed out loud, 10 minutes a day, if you were willing to just start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and read out loud for 10 minutes a day, you could easily read through the Bible in a year. Easily read through the Bible in a year. It takes 70 hours to read through the Bible out loud at an average reading speed. That is 10 minutes a day. And we don't have time to stop what we're doing and listen to the voice of the Lord and read the words of God for even 10 minutes a day. Do you daily listen to the voice of God as you read your Bible? I mean, we'll spend an hour a day catching up on ESPN. Okay, we'll listen to the voice of Dr. Phil or Rush Limbaugh or CNN News. I mean, we'll watch Fox News for 2 or 3 hours a day. We can't spend 10 minutes. 10 minutes just reading out loud the Word of God. Why is it that we'll spend an hour a day reading from our computer screens and the mindless dribble of people's Facebook postings, and we can't find time to pick up the inerrant and inspired and preserved and precious words of God? And you know what I'm afraid's happened? There's so many other voices that are competing for our attention that we are failing to just focus in and read and listen to the voice of God. Folks, let me tell you something here. This is the Word of God. And inside of you as a Christian is the Spirit of God. And it's a wonderful thing when you're reading the Word of God and you've got the Spirit of God that is igniting those words and explaining those words and revealing truth to you. You know what? The reading of the Bible ought to be a precious time in your life. Let God speak to you through the pages of his holy word. Number two, let God speak to you through the preaching of faithful men of God. America has forsaken the local assembly. Preaching even to people who profess Christ as their Savior sometimes is considered a waste of time. Some even suggest it is a foolish waste of time. But that was predicted. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Something is said in Titus, the first three verses of the first chapter, that needs to be repeated often. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. How did he manifest his word? Through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. You know what, folks? You drive around on a Sunday morning and you see a lot of people whose homes are in the state of rest as they treat the Lord's day as another day to sleep in. Or you'll see them out and about getting the fishing boat ready or getting the camper ready, and we wonder why America is where it's at, because people will not take, good night, one hour a week and walk in God's house and sit down and listen to God's man preach God's word and learn something with the help of God's Spirit. Listen, folks, we're in a time where the preaching of the Bible is mocked and belittled and ignored for the most part, but that's also resulting in what we're seeing every single day, the direction of our church. Our country. Those who do go to church oftentimes want to go someplace where they won't have to hear the voice of God. Isn't that crazy? If I was going to go to church, I'd at least want to go where I'm going to hear God's voice. They want to go where the words of God is not proclaimed. You say, preacher, that's not possible. Good night. It doesn't matter where you go to church. Just pick one that you're comfortable with and go in. And surely they all preach the Bible. Well, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And I'm going to say something. Please listen to me. The vast majority of churches, I'm talking about, there's a sign that says church out front that's in session right now. The vast majority in this county, people are not hearing the voice of God and they're not hearing from the word of God. So where do you base that on? Well, I'll tell you something that we did, and maybe it was right, maybe it was wrong. But in the months leading up after Bible college, me and my wife finished Bible college, in the months leading up to starting a church in Brazil, Indiana, we actually moved to Brazil, Indiana in May, 1st of June, and we started the church in October, and I decided that every Sunday night and every Wednesday night I would go find a drive as far as we have to and find an independent fundamental Baptist church to go to and sit and listen and learn. But I felt like the Lord wanted me to do this. Every Sunday morning in June, July, and August, and September, you know what I did? I just picked a different church within the boundaries of Brazil, Indiana. Me and my wife walked into that church and sat and listened. Let me say this. Most of the churches we went to, we were the only two people walking in with a copy of the Bible even in our hand. Now, I'm talking about all denominations here. Now, don't get me wrong. I was saved at 5 years of age. I've gone to a Baptist church since I've been saved. I had no intention of not going to a Baptist church. But you know what? For 4 months, every Sunday morning, I said, I'm going to walk in and experience what most church people are experiencing. I was in several churches where I found out why the people didn't walk in with the Bible. The preacher walked to the pulpit without a Bible. You said, that's craziness. That doesn't happen. It's happening all over the county right here. And if they do carry a Bible, a lot of times it is a translation that is not truly the Bible. And some of them don't even bother to carry it up there except for a prop. I was in one church in Brazil, and you know what? The man got up there, and we were ready. We are trained, turning your Bibles, and we're waiting, and we're waiting. And he goes through the introduction, and we're waiting. And he goes through the body of the sermon, and we're waiting. And he goes through the conclusion, and we're still waiting. And not one time did he ever mention one word from the Bible. And here I look around, and this is a church, by the way, folks, kind of one of those uppity churches. This is where the money people go, and this is where the people that influence the city go. You look around, and there's councilmen, and there's the mayor, and there's several of the businessmen of the county. And you know what? That preacher looks out there and says, now, I want to keep this money and these people here. And if I start preaching this, I'm going to offend somebody. You know why? Because the Bible says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. You can't preach their word without reproving and rebuking and exhorting with all longsuffering. You can't do it. So there's hirelings out there. They're not shepherds. They're hirelings. They're bought and paid for. And I watched this man. You say, well, what did he preach on if he doesn't preach on the Bible? He walked up to the pulpit. And this was his introduction, something along these lines. I was walking in our city park, just walking with the Lord. And I came to this monument in our city park, and it had a poem on it. And I jotted down the words of this poem. And he read the poem and talked about the poem for 20 minutes, and then we all went home. Now, listen, folks, there's a reason we've got a generation that are growing up that are ignorant of the principles of this Bible. I mean, forget about the government trying to take the Ten Commandments out of the schools and off of the courtyard lawn. The Ten Commandments, for the most part, has been taken out right out of the church house. Been eliminated. Now, listen to me, folks. You know what? Be glad that you go to a good, old-fashioned Bible-preaching church. I mean, if you don't come where the Bible's preached, how are you going to hear the voice of the Lord? Preacher, you were talking about these people that heard the voice of God and their life was changed and their destiny changed and they were able to do great things they couldn't have imagined. How does that happen today? We every day get in this book and we read and we listen for the voice of the Lord, and then we come to church on Sunday and we bring our Bibles and we open to it. We listen to the Word of God manifest through preaching, and we hear the voice of the Lord. But I want to leave you with one more thought. If you're truly born again and you're saved, you have within you the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible refers to his voice as that still small voice. Still small voice. Now, folks, listen to me. Aren't you glad that we have the indwelling of the Spirit of God? Aren't you glad that we have the voice of the Holy Spirit that will guide us and direct us and teach us and tutor us and, yes, convict us? John chapter 16, Jesus made this promise. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit of God begins to allow us to hear his voice long before he indwells us? Because, folks, if you were truly saved, you were saved partly as a result of the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Now think back. Do you remember that? All across this room, if we took time, we could allow people to give testimony and tell about the day they were saved and the day of and the days prior to them coming to Jesus Christ, that convicting voice of the Holy Spirit of God that creates within us this holy unrest. And sometimes for a while we may not even understand what it is or what's happening, but we know that something is not right. We're not right with the Lord. Something's needs to be done. Something's out of kilter. Something. And that Holy Spirit begins to work on our heart. We hear a sermon on hell, and that Holy Spirit of God, his voice begins to convict us about and bring fear into our lives. And we hear preaching on sin, and he begins to convict us of our wrongness. And we hear preaching on the rapture, and maybe we lay awake at night thinking, boy, if Jesus came today and that voice is saying, you would be left, you'd be left, you'd be left. We hear preaching on the tribulation period, and we think, I don't want to go through that. That Spirit of God says, no, you don't, and this is what he says, and you don't have to. And you don't have to. By the way, that's why the Bible goes on to say what it says. Boy, if we'd get on the same message pattern as preachers, as the Holy Spirit promised, he would. You know what it says? And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. If we just preach on sin, we give the Holy Spirit something to work with. Of righteousness. Now think about that. If we preached on the sin of man and the righteousness of God, well, there's a contrast, there's a comparison. And of judgment. Okay? That's the preaching that's always brought people to salvation. Okay? And yet we're told you can't preach on sin anymore. Good night. The millennialists, they get their feelings hurt too easily. You can't do that. You got to tiptoe around. You can't. Oh, my goodness sakes, this young generation, they don't want to hear that stuff. Well, we better. No, we preach on sin, not to hurt, but to help. We preach on sin so that the Holy Spirit can bring us to conviction of our need of Christ. And then we preach on the sinfulness of man, the righteousness of God, and judgment. And you know what that does? That drives lost men to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That prepares them for the gospel. The Holy Spirit of God brings conviction to our life, not just before we're saved, but thank goodness, I mean this, let's be glad that the Holy Spirit doesn't stop convicting us after we're saved. And he'll come along and he'll begin to deal with an area of our life. We mentioned the prayer request, the praise report, and you know what? This couple down back here didn't decide the other day just to try to get victory in their life over this matter of smoking. They didn't do it just because of health reasons. They did it because the Holy Spirit of God started dealing in their lives about that area of their life. We've got a couple. By the way, I wish I could stand here and tell you and testify and tell you all the neat things that's happening. We've got two of our young couples that, and by the way, good things are happening in our young adult class. I mean this. I'm excited. Just keep praying. Amen. Good things are happening. We've got two of our young couples that just recently, when they came to church, they got saved. They weren't married. Okay, don't pick up and throw rocks. Not everybody was raised with the knowledge that you have. Nobody came from the background you have. Not everybody's where you're at. And by the way, when they got saved, we didn't pick up stones and start throwing them at them. We just start teaching them the Bible. And two of these couples have come to me recently and said, "Preacher, we got to get this taken care of. We want to do the right thing. We want to be right with the Lord." What happened? The Holy Spirit started dealing with them. It wasn't because the preacher came and browbeat them, because when people were mistreating them, that's not just the Word of God. The Word of God, just the Bible. Now, wait a minute. You're glad for them, but what about you? And what about me? Have we arrived? I mean, have we gotten to the place where the Holy Spirit's no longer allowed to convict us about anything? You know, we've altar-proofed ourselves. Is that where we've gotten to? When's the last time? Come on, Christians, I'm asking. When's the last time you felt the convicting voice of God? You know why I believe that many Christians no longer hear the voice of the Lord? It's because they have told the convicting voice to be quiet by grieving the Spirit of God and sometimes quenching the Spirit of God. But the problem is, when you quiet the convicting voice of the Spirit, you also quiet the comforting voice of the Spirit. You don't get to dictate to the Holy Spirit what he's allowed to deal with you about and not deal with you about, talk to you about. And you either listen to him and energize his ministry in your life, or you begin to grieve him and quench him. And you know what? There's a whole lot of things that break down after that. You know, it's the Holy Spirit of God that tutors us when we read the Bible. Well, preacher, I don't read the Bible anymore because I don't get anything out of it. I'm not talking about lost people saying that. I'm talking about saved people saying that. Why don't you? Why don't you? Why is his voice of knowledge quieted? You know, well, I don't want the conviction, but I want to open the Bible, and I just want, man, I want to learn, and I want the Holy Spirit to show me stuff and learn all kinds of neat stuff. Well, what I'm saying is this: when's the last time we've heard the voice of the Lord? I'm glad that the Holy Spirit of God came to me when I was a little five-year-old boy at the Rock Run Baptist Church in Brazil, Indiana, and his voice began to speak, and his voice began to convict. I'm glad that he was convicting within while the Father was drawing from without. And I've said this to you many times, folks, but listen to me. One of the most glorious moments if we could see all that was happening, the moment a person is saved, the entire Trinity focuses in on that one person. If you're here today and you're lost, I promise you, you've got the full attention of the triune God. The Holy Spirit's working to convict you of your sin while Jesus said, no man cometh to me unless the Father draw him. So God the Father's involved by drawing you, and that's why a lot of times you're sitting back there in an invitation. I watch this white knuckle thing going on. Why are you holding on? As if you didn't, you'd be dragged forward, because the Father will draw you while the Spirit convicts you. And by the way, the Son stands up here waiting for you. Now think of it. You understand, back in 1966 when little 5-year-old Jerry Ross was under conviction in that pew, that I know God's omniscient and omnipresent, and I know he can handle more than one task. You talk about multitasking. I get all that, but you know that in that moment of eternity, the full triune God was concerned about one thing, a little lost boy. The Holy Spirit is convicting, and the Father is drawing, and the Son is waiting. And when I stepped out of that pew and walked forward, whoo, talk about rejoicing in the presence of the angel, man. That says rejoicing in the presence of the angel. We often say, well, the angels rejoice. Well, I'm sure they do, because whatever makes God happy makes them happy. But the Bible says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. And you know what? I believe it's God himself. I mean, there he is battling for a soul. There he is doing all that he can. But listen, folks, he will not circumvent your free will. I don't have a Calvinist bone in my body. You know what? The Holy Spirit will convict you, and the Father will draw you, and the Son will wait for you, but you have to decide, whosoever will may come. I'm talking about hearing the Spirit of God, the voice of God. You're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior. Preacher, I'm hearing the voice of God. I'm talking about something you hear out loud, but something that's in your heart, there's something happening inside of me that I've never had happen, and I can't even explain. Let me tell you what it is. It's God proving to you how much he loves you. It's him calling you. But wait a minute, Christian. It's not just lost people that he calls. And you know what? Hearing the voice of God ought to be a daily event in the life of a born-again Christian. And yet, come on, look up here. I'm not judging you. Listen to me. I hate to say this. I don't want to admit it. But there has been stretches of my Christian life where I've gone months and not heard the voice of God. And it wasn't, brother, because he wasn't trying to speak to me. It's because I decided I was done listening. And those are dark days and lonely days and unproductive months and meaningless months of my life. And how sweet it is just to kind of get back on the other side of that and say, God, it's been too long since I've heard your voice. Hey, Christians, wouldn't you want, if there is a lost person here, wouldn't you want them to listen to the voice of God this morning? Why would you expect them to do something in this church if those of us that are saved won't do the same? Here's the invitation. Listen. Listen. Hear. Obey. Just do. Just do what God's saying. Just do what God's drawing you to do. Let him help you this morning. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for that still small voice. Thank you for the working of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the preaching of the Bible. Thank you that in this day and age, the voice of the Lord, it still is powerful. It's still majestic. It still touches lives and changes lives. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be tender to the Holy Spirit's leading in our midst this morning.